Welcome back, Dynasty lovers, to another episode of the Dynasty Interview Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Joseph Adrian, with my co-host,
Scott Martin.
Well, we are back again, and we got the most exciting episode ever for you.
Oh, yeah, baby.
This is the tight end show. Oh, man, I love Welcome. A tight end show. Nothing's better than a tight end show. Scotty, you love tight ends, right?
Oh, yeah, I do love tight ends.
Yeah, but that's more of the female persuasion tight end, not as opposed to the fantasy tight ends.
Yep.
So, a tight end really can complete the team and make it a full package and get you over the top. There's probably really only one of those tight ends in this class that we can see clearly. We'll be delving into them, obviously. Kyle Pitts, you know, he's kind of the big name here. And then you have one other tight end that's serviceable, and then other multiple question marks and all of these other guys. So it's
but there's value, and just like I've said before, value that you can flip if you play your cards right. So you got to know who to avoid and who that you can take these last, you know, these few dart throws at the end, or even waiver. Most of these guys I've been able to waiver. But you pick up some really solid value that, you know, hey, might come out, get some snaps this year, get a, you know, have an opportunity, and you can flip these guys. So Dynasty is, there's so much strategy involved, and there's still some really good value guys here to talk about. So let's do it.
Well, I think it all comes down to our different strategies as far as the tight end position.
Yep.
You're a guy that likes to
take those late round flyers on them.
Late round flyers, play, sort of follow the tight end market very, very closely, and then pick them up right as they show any signs of life, and then get your value that way. I'm a guy that likes to almost avoid the tight ends as much as possible in the draft and then trade for them. I think in our league of record, I have traded for Goddard, I've traded for Gesicki, and I've also traded for Waller. So
yeah, you've
I'm one of those guys
that trade market really well. Yep.
So, and then I also traded for Dawson Knox for a cheaper pick than two. So I'm a guy that likes to see some potential and then get these guys. He may be paying a higher price. But the other times, sort of like Gesicki and Goddard, they weren't really showing anything in their first year. And I may have gotten, I think I got them cheaper than with a sort of later second round picks going into their third years then. So, and then Gesicki and Goddard have both have a sort of a breakout potential this year. But I have a team that's win now. And that's why I went after Waller and made a sort of a big blockbuster trade there. Also got Hopkins in that deal too. Scotty wasn't too happy about that, but we won't talk about that here. Just going back, but as Scotty and I talking about that, so we're actually in just one league together, and I think that's enough.
Yep.
I think Scotty would kill me.
Yeah, claw his eyes out for sure.
I'm a very skilled negotiator, I think, and I like to. I'm one of the guys that sort of.
Yeah, I've been watching these Marvel, like all the episodes, all of the like season shows, movies, all of them in order. I'm pretty sure you're on the list of like you have this skillful negotiating, like magical skill, because you somehow milk the last drop out of every trade. I'm not sure how you do it. But
you gotta squeeze that teat to the dry, man.
Yep. mad props.
And it's not that you may think like a third round pick here or a fourth round pick here is nothing, but then you can turn those picks into players then, and ultimately you can then flip that fifth, like last year I did for Jerick McKinnon before the season started, and then I turned Jerick McKinnon into a second round pick. So you gotta. I'm one that you got to melt the trades. Any little extra value you get could help you in a trade down the future. And a lot of times just throwing in a late round pick can get a trade over the top then too. So I use those late round picks as sort of assets to sort of push trades along. So I think that's very important. But getting back to it, Scotty and I are only in one league together. I think it would hurt our our friendship here. We're in more than one league together. And we recently joined up in another super flex here. And I was hoping to be a separate team in that league, but we're doing a combo team here just to not get Scotty mad at me. He said he wouldn't participate in the league if I was the opposing team. He's afraid of my talent.
No, I'm just trying not to ginger strife.
Ginger what?
Gender strife.
Gender strife?
Yeah,
you know, I don't know that term.
Bring on conflict and.
Oh man, you got a more advanced vocabulary than I do here. So
yeah, hold on here. Timeout
from the game.
Yeah. My strategy is, I'm not going to say that I don't try to look for guys I think that are going to break out in like their third year, sometimes maybe second year, but because I do that, but I feel like the thing that I do a little differently is I like finding those guys I fall in love with in the draft, you know, starring them, taking those late round flyers or wavering them and going ahead and using a practice squad spot. Because if they do sort of start to break out, sometimes it's harder to get what you want. So like your Adam Trautman, your Bryson Hopkins, you know, those guys who I expect to start to have breakout years this year, I already have those guys on my teams. But you constantly have to watch the waiver wire and you got to watch the camp news and everything, because all these guys that are even undrafted guys that, you know, maybe are from these smaller schools, they've got to spend a couple years in the offense and then they start to stand out just like Robert Tonyan did last year. And that's where you got to capitalize. You have to, for the tight end position, opportunity is more important than skill, but I still like finding the guys that have the most skill to stash on my practice squad.
Yeah. But the thing I've been chasing a lot of those guys. I remember back in the day, I actually drafted Tyler Higbee in the third round.
Yeah. He's going to have
I was targeting Austin Hooper.
Yeah. You want to tie it in this year. Those are the two names that you need to be trying to get for cheap, because their value can't go anywhere but up.
But how long did it take Higbee to break out?
Yep.
It took him like 4 or 5 years, and he's not going to stay in your taxi squad. He's going to be cut from your team by that time.
Yep.
At least before Gerald ever got hurt, Higbee was just more of a blocking tight end than anything. And in other past years, you have Kylie Warren got drafted in the third round. What has he done? Yeah. Josh Oliver got drafted in the third round. What has he done? He's now on his second team there. I think he's in Baltimore now behind Mark Andrews. So it's tough. And then you have Hayden Hurst. He got drafted in the first round by Baltimore. And then ultimately he got traded to Atlanta. Now he's getting replaced by Kyle Pitts here. So it's tight ends, that one of those fickle positions. But if you can get one of those top guys and if you can work out a trade for them, I think I like going that route. But you always got to work that tight end market then and see what's available and try to get them at the best possible prices then too. Because like I said, any excess value or any increased value you can make in Dynasty could be exponentially beneficial in the coming months, the coming years then too. But enough of this strategy talk. It's tight end talk time, like true tight end talk time. And by true tight end talk, I talk about rookies. And we're talking about two players only. We're not going beyond that. I can't do it. I can't do it.
I got you covered. Don't worry.
Okay. So, but obviously, number one on the list, the phenom, Kyle Pitts. Everyone's saying he's probably the best tight end prospect to come out since, I don't know, who are we saying here?
Ever.
Ever?
Yeah.
I think maybe the guy that would be somewhat comparable, I think Vernon Davis was sort of a freak of nature back in the day.
Yep.
And that could be something that you could sort of comp him to. Vernon Davis never really panned out except for a season here or there. Wasn't this dominant fantasy tight end, but he definitely had the athletic skill set to look that dominant part then. But Kyle Pitts should be a full package here. He is amazing red zone target. He is an amazing route runner. He has amazing hands. he's the full package here. So
yeah,
and he's going to a great system. He is an elite tight end prospect, and that's why he's going very, very high in your rookie drafts.
Well, how many tight ends can you remember saying they're going to make an impact year one? He's in a perfect spot. He has all the skills of an excellent wide receiver. So I expect him to be an absolute matchup nightmare. He's going to have extreme volume now that Julio Jones is leaving. And, oh my gosh, the sky's the limit. The question is, I mean, should you be spending 1-1 on this guy? He's arguably the best talent in the whole class. He could be the best fantasy tight end for the next 10 years.
Yeah, so if they move to the outside, that reminds me of probably one of the earliest years I got started in fantasy football is when Marcus Colston, I think he came out of Hofstra, and he was listed as a tight end. And I think he at least had 900, 1,000 yards in his first season with Drew Brees down there in New Orleans. And I had him in my tight end slot the whole year. And he just dominated. It was absolutely awesome. So Kyle Pitts will be at least listed as a tight end this year, and he could go over 1,000 yards. He could be that difference maker that Marcus Colston was back in the day. But then Marcus Colston lost that designation in year two, and then he was strictly listed as a wide receiver. But I'm hoping with Kyle Pitts, he's actually a better blocker than I thought when I was examining his film. Mm-hmm. Then I still think he can be used in the traditional tight end set, but I think he's going to be running more routes and more of that Travis Kelce mold than more of that sort of that blocking tight end then. So I think Kyle Pitts will still be listed as a tight end. If he can stay there and be listed there his whole career, he's going to be an absolute difference maker in your fantasy team. And so full steam ahead. If you want to draft Kyle Pitts in your top three, I'm not going to fault you for that. But let's move on to number two. So the only other operational tight end in this class, according to my opinion, would be Pat Freiermuth out of Penn State, who went to the Steelers. Scotty, you know I like Pat Freiermuth, but tell us your thoughts first on Mr. Freiermuth and what do you see him doing here? What's his three-year plan, we'll say?
So for me, I don't know that the only way that I'm drafting him is if he gets to the third round, because unless I'm tight end needy or there's not a guy in the late second that I'm in love with, I'm just not going to draft him. And the reason is he has everything that you want in a traditional tight end. He is a perfect NFL tight end and he's going to have a great career. But for Dynasty, I don't see that. He doesn't have that athleticism that takes him to the next level. So he doesn't have that Noah Fant, that TJ Hawkinson. He doesn't have that kind of athleticism. He's more Hunter Henry. So it's very dependent on the position, the landing spot. And he landed in a perfect one in Pittsburgh. But Big Ben's likely only going to be there this year. So what's the quarterback situation there? I don't know.
They got Dwayne Haskins, man. They're
yeah,
set.
Yeah, there you go.
Dwayne Haskins, Mason Rudolph.
Yeah. but just like Hunter Henry's stock got crippled by going to New England, it's in his case, it is so dependent on where he is right now. So Pat Freiermuth might be a guy that you draft late in the second, early in the third, and I expect him to have a good year this year. And then you sell. He's not a guy that I'm in love with, but he's got the perfect landing spot. He has safe. His floor is super safe. His ceiling's just not super high. So, but he's a great tight end. He's draftable for me for sure. But he's got to be in that early third round for me. I'm not taking a big time flyer on a late second rounder for him.
He's one of those tight ends that I like on my team. You look more for these elite athletes, and hopefully they can turn into a sort of Travis Kelce type tight end.
Yep.
I like the tight ends that are going to be these red zone monsters, have a high chance to put up double-digit touchdowns. And that's what Pat Freiermuth is. That's what Hunter Henry was.
They're volume dependent. Because, that's what they are. They're volume dependent.
Yeah. And with the other guys, these guys operate in the red zone. Those more athletic guys operate between the 20s then. So Scotty's an Evan Engram guy, and our classic debates were between Evan Engram and Hunter Henry. And I think I'm still the winner. I think I win with the Hunter Henry, because Evan Engram is
still think Evan Engram has trash. More upside. But
yeah, he but just he can't catch the ball,
hurt so. All the time.
he's hurt and he can't catch the ball.
Well, and he's hurt by Daniel Jones, but moving on.
I think we're gonna move on. I think we're actually gonna move on with our tight ends this year. And I think we're gonna go to I'm gonna be Mike Gesicki and you're gonna be Noah Fant. That's how it's gonna transition.
Probably. Yep.
That's how we're going to do our tight end breakdowns. I'll be talking up Gesicki. You'll be talking up a Fant. I was actually thinking about this when I was driving home from work the other day from outreach, and that's what came to mind. Like, yeah, we need to update this because Engram and Hunter Henry. I think we're moving on from them.
Yeah.
But you'll be Fant. I'll be Gesicki.
Yeah. The only problem is in one of my other leagues that I'm pretty competitive in. Gesicki and Fant are my two tight ends, and I love both those guys. So that's the only problem there. But
and Gesicki is actually a very, very good athlete. He is he is wonderful. So he has a chance to be a total field playmaker, more so than the Hunter Henry version. So I would go with Gesicki. I know you still go with Fant over Gesicki.
At this point, yes. Just because I think Tua is penciled in for a few years, and I think Denver might get another quarterback.
They may be upgrading here.
Yeah. But
Denver can never find a quarterback. So that's the problem. Who are they talking about trading for? It was Aaron Rodgers. So if Aaron Rodgers go there.
All aboard.
All aboard the no fan train.
I still think
I'll board the Jerry Jeudy and Courtland Sutton train then too.
Well, you know, I think Fant is going to have a good year because Bridgewater might win that job, and I can see him hitting that check down. And Fant is a guy that could really, really, really benefit from catching the ball in space. You know, using him as part of that screen game and that check down guy, that safety blanket. And
well, I think they also have Jerry Jeudy is very good. He's a very good route runner. He'll be commanding targets. Courtland Sutton's coming back. Hamler is a very good slot receiver then too. So there's a lot of mouths to feed in Denver there. And then I was going to say Miami. There's not as many, but they did get Will Fuller this year. They did get Waddle. Parker's going to be back then. But I think the top tier talent is a little better in Denver. So,
And that's why I think ownership is going to say, we're not looking for this gunslinger that's going to turn the ball over. We're looking for that safe guy that's a game manager. And that's going to be Bridgewater. I think that's what they're looking for this year. So I won't be surprised to see him end up with the job. Is he going to be really fantasy relevant? No, he's a QB2, but still. Better
Denver's to improve their defense then too. If the defense is going to be good, like it was when they won the Super Bowl, Peyton Manning, when he was just on the back nine. He wasn't on the back nine. He was on whole 18, ready to go in the clubhouse. As far as his career there, and he just the defense took them to the championship, and Von Miller won the championship against Cam Newton and the Panthers there. But they could be going for that game manager and just trying to lose the game, but. The AFC West is going to be tough this year. I wouldn't want to be in that division. That's for sure. Probably the best division of football if I'd had to do it off the top of my head there. But but back to Pat Freiermuth. Like I said, red zone monster. He is a guy that has great hands. He is a good route runner. Then he's a complete NFL tight end, and he's probably going to be averaging around that. That six to nine range as far as tight end finishes. When you look at his whole career, then he may have a year where he gets up at the that four that 4 or 5 range, depending on touchdowns then. But there may be years that he could get into that top three then, but it's going to be really touchdown dependent. Could he be that Gronk? People sometimes were comparing him to that. I don't think he's ever going to get there. Gronk's a special tight end there. But Pat Freiermuth, I think he's still end of the second worthy pick. And if you can give him the third, I think that's a steal. So now this is where the debate comes.
Yeah. This is a guy that you didn't think I'd like at all. Hunter Long. He's excellent at so many things. And the things that you say about Pat Freiermuth are the same things that I see in Hunter Long. And that's why Hunter Long was like literally point for point with Freiermuth on, film, on our film score, but the landing spot crippled his value. You can't go to Miami, which is already a bad spot anyway, not with Gesicki there, and then be draftable. I've seen Hunter Long go undrafted. I have wavered Hunter Long in these 5-round rookie drafts. I have also seen him go in the 3rd round. So with these sleeper ADPs kind of all over the place, people are drafting people all over. But I really like Hunter Long still. I think he's a guy that I have starred. I want to see what happens. He reminds me of like when Zach Ertz was in Philly and then they went and got Dallas Goedert. He's that kind of guy that, I want to keep note of, because if there's ever a, nick in the armor there with Gesicki, or Gesicki goes down, he's a guy that I think could step up and be a really good tight end. But he's waiverable. He's a 5th-round flyer maybe, but you can't spend more than that on him. Not with the landing spot.
Yeah, I don't really like the Ertz and Goddard comparison. I think a better comparison would be last year with Austin Hooper and Harrison Bryant in Cleveland.
Yeah, that's good. Yep.
So we both liked Harrison Bryant coming out, but then he got drafted by a team that already had David Njoku. They paid Austin Hooper a lot of money, and he went undrafted in your fantasy drafts. And I picked him up in our league record. We picked him up in our combo team. Mm-hmm. And he outplayed Njoku, and he showed a lot of promise this past year. So I think he has, but it's just, when is Austin Hooper going to move on? But when Austin Hooper does move on, I think Harrison Bryant's going to be a valuable asset. Is Mike Gesicki ever going to move on from Miami? And is Hunter Long ever going to be that guy? It's tough to say, but
you're asking for a lot of dominoes to fall.
A lot of dominoes, yeah. and people are going to draft it every year, so it's constant turnover then. But I liked Hunter Long's talent. I thought he did a lot of the same things that Pat Freiermuth did, but I think he was a step below Pat Freiermuth on every single skill set then. They're very similar tight end, but like I said, I have Pat Freiermuth significantly ahead, but I do like Hunter Long, and I have him as my third tight end here as well. So at 4 here, I have Trey McKitty.
Yep.
And this is a guy that's actually pretty athletic. It's a guy that is very raw, doesn't have much production coming out of Georgia, but he did go to a very nice landing spot in the Chargers. They have the perennial one-year wonder, Jared Cook, ahead of him, but he's getting old. He's long in the tooth, and he's going to be moving on. And you have Trey McKitty there, who has a very good young quarterback in Justin Herbert. And he's looking at that second year breakout. That's what you're hoping for. And you could be drafting Trey McKitty in that 4th, 5th round, stash him on your practice squad, taxi squad, and hoping for that year 2, year 3 breakout. And I think that's what we're looking at from his standpoint then.
Yeah, I like Hunter Long better, but it's all about playing the game of where these guys are going to get drafted or whatever. But so Trey McKitty is a guy that I've seen draft in the 3rd round, and I've also seen wavered. So he's kind of all over the board too. But this is a guy we didn't talk about in our pre-draft shows, but he's a guy that he just was not used. He just, there's so much potential, I think, that's there that we just didn't get to see, both at Florida State and Georgia. He's 6'4", 247. He does have a little bit of suddenness with his routes, but you just don't get to see a lot on tape because they didn't use him that way in college. At the Senior Bowl, he really stood out because he showed that he was a little bit better as a route runner. He has huge 11-inch hands. He's like that. He just absorbs every ball. There were actually routes that he was just catching balls one-handed just for fun. And he's really got some nice hands, and he catches the ball pretty well in traffic.
Scotty, if you put your two hands together like on top of each other and stretch them out,
nope.
You have 11-inch hands then? Nope. Or is that
still don't.
Carney hands. Small yep. Like cabbage.
he is a guy that is, he's not uber athletic. So like he didn't participate in any pro days. And there's a reason, because he would have scored pretty poorly because he's not super fast. He's probably like 4.65, 4.7 maybe, if you're lucky.
4.65 is pretty good for a tight end. That's not bad.
He's not my cup of tea. He's more Hunter Henry in this discussion. But he is a guy that he's going to be a great safety blanket. Love the landing spot with the Chargers. They actually invested third round draft capital in him, which is pretty good. And I think he could get a lot of playing time year one. So
the next guy I have on my list is actually a guy that I really, really liked his film. I thought he was a good route runner. He made plays after the catch then. He looked like a guy that could be a valuable fantasy tight end as far as catching the ball and scoring your points then. He wasn't the greatest blocker, and he had the one problem that you made me aware, because I couldn't find his measurables when I was watching the film, but he is shorter. I think he was like that 6'2", 6'3".
Yeah, they had him listed 6'3", 235, but he's actually 6'1", 241.
Yes, I knew it was something like that. And so he's probably more of like an H-back type player then. But the landing spot he got was actually pretty good with the Colts. The Colts really don't have a tight end per se on the roster, so I don't know if they're going to be looking to get Zach Ertz here from Philadelphia, but there's definitely an opportunity there, so... A guy that they could get that opportunity is Kylan Granson then. And like I said, it's with Carson Wentz. He's a guy that force fed the ball to tight ends before with Goddard and Ertz there in Philadelphia. So could Kylan Granson be that guy going forward? It's a possibility, and he's a guy that another name to keep an eye on then from my standpoint.
Yeah, he's a guy that I've seen drafted third, fourth round. I'm not spending that on him. I would waiver him, but I'm not super interested. The size just kills him, and I'm shocked that the Colts spent a fourth round pick on him. But it's an okay landing spot. He's, I don't know, if you really fell in love with him in the pre-draft process, you could spend a late round pick on him. But he's not a guy that's super high on my board.
Yeah, like I said, I love this film, so I'm keeping an eye on him. But yeah. You're seeing him go in the third round in rookie drafts?
Yep.
Jeez.
Late third.
Yeah, this is the guy you probably want to wait on.
Yep. Wait on him.
And then get him then.
Yep.
Hint, hint. So who do you have at number five then? What was your guy that you're looking at?
Yeah, another good landing spot, Noah Gray. Just kidding. It might not be that bad of a landing spot. Travis Kelce's kind of getting a little old, and he kind of fits that mold of he's in that needs the volume kind of, you know, he's not a super athletic guy. He's kind of just very average athletically. I don't know. I'm not a huge Noah Gray fan, but he's a guy that I think you have to waiver. I don't see anybody drafting him. I have seen people draft him, but I don't see myself drafting him.
Yeah, I really like Noah Gray when I watched his film. I think he was the only I thought he was the only true football player on the Duke team, and they really should have force-fed him the ball because that team was bad. That quarterback was bad, and that running back, he may have put up a good pro day, but his he was not a good running back either. He's behind Travis Kelce here. How long is Travis Kelce going to play? It doesn't seem like he's slowing down anytime soon here. So that sort of hurts Noah Gray's at least immediate future here. But if he ever gets a chance, I could see him possibly being that Travis Kelce replacement. I think they offer some of the same skill set as far as that receiving tight end, that athletic tight end. And that's a guy to keep an eye on. It's probably one of those guys that maybe that like sort of that Robert Tonyan, or maybe a guy that's going to have a later breakout. We may not draft him this year, but it's a guy that you want to sort of keep starred or highlighted and be in the future.
Yeah, he's a guy that I have starred, and here's why. I'll clarify what I said about the athleticism. On the film, he does not look like an uber-athletic kind of guy. Maybe it's because he doesn't get the opportunity to show it. Maybe it's just, I'm not sure. The team was so bad. But at his pro day, just like all the Duke players somehow miraculously had these great pro days, he ran a 4.57. He had a 6.833 cone. He had a 35-inch broad jump and a 35-inch vertical jump, 115-inch broad jump. I was going to say,
that's a pretty crappy broad jump.
Yeah. I mean, his speed and quickness is up in the high 90 percentiles. So that's something that maybe we just didn't get to see it on the field. So he's an interesting guy that if you really need to have a practice squad guy to stash, he's a great guy to stash.
Yeah, another guy that I have in sort of the same range here is Kenny Yeboah.
Yep.
I think he's for different reasons. Was he Ole Miss then?
Yeah, he was at Ole Miss.
He was Ole Miss, and then he went to a decent landing spot then too with the Jets. So they got a nice young quarterback, a new coaching staff, no more Adam Gase curse. Chris Herndon is just a guy. He is nothing special. I don't know. All these Chris Herndon truthers out there, they look pretty silly right now.
I like Herndon quite a bit. I think he's going to have a great year. He is a cheap buy now option.
How many times have I heard Chris Herndon's going to have a great year?
Yeah, but he's also had
the past Darnold. Two years here.
Darnold.
Well, you could blame everything on Gase, but we'll see. But I don't have any high expectations for Herndon. Yeboah, I had him as, I think I gave him like a 68 on my film score then, and that was the same score as Noah Gray and 2 points behind Hunter Long here. So I did like that guy. I did like Yeboah. Now I saw, and he's a guy that has some athleticism as well then too. So he can be more of that receiving tight end as opposed to just a strictly blocking tight end. And he, I think on his film, like he had one game where he just bust off these huge plays then. So he has that sort of that straight line, long speed then that could sort of make or break your week then. I almost saw him as more like that, almost like a Jared Cook type player then.
Yeboah is a poor man's Bryson Hopkins.
Yeah, I see the poor man Jared Cook, but I can see the Bryson Hopkins as well. I think Bryson Hopkins is a better route runner.
Oh, yeah.
Yeboah can put up those big numbers then too.
He's too big to be a wide receiver and definitely not big enough to be a tight end. He's a guy that you absolutely have to wait on because it's going to take him 3 years to get his body where he could even handle, the beating that the NFL is going to provide. He couldn't even block college teams, so there's no way he's physically ready to be a tight end at that level. So he's got to get his body right, but he has those athleticism traits that if he does get that part taken care of, then he would be a sneaky guy to have.
And so who do you have next on your list here?
Brevin Jordan. I mean, it's hard not to with the draft capital. I mean, even if it is Houston, you get drafted in the
draft
fifth round.
Great either. I think he's a fifth round pick.
Yeah, he got drafted in the fifth round. He's a guy that I'm not really in love with him. I don't really love anything that he does. He's not super athletic, and he's got a little bit more athleticism than the replacement. You know, he's just a little bit above a replacement. I don't ever see him being a really big tight end. I think he's a guy that he doesn't have the athleticism that excites me. He doesn't have the blocking ability or the other stuff that excites me. He's like in the middle of both categories, and I don't like him. So he's not on my draft board.
Yeah, I wasn't impressed with him on the film. He's a guy that's not going to make a contested catch. The hands are suspect. He was used more in the screen game than anything. And his run after the catch ability is actually pretty good. That's his biggest strength then. But I don't see him being a valuable asset early on. And it's going to be a difficult transition for him to the NFL. And he's on a team where they already have a lot of tight ends. And they have a lot of quarterbacks and definitely a lot of running backs. And you don't know who's going to be that quarterback there for the future. Is he going to be working with Tyrod Taylor? Is Deshaun Watson going to ever come back? Probably not. Is it going to be Davis Mills then, too? Which we didn't like his film at all coming out of Stanford there. So it's going to be very, very tough for Brevin Jordan to at least have any immediate production in the NFL here. So I'm probably out on Brevin Jordan. So the other guy I have here is Tommy Tremble. He got actually very good draft capital. I think it was like a third round pick.
Yeah, third round pick 20.
Yeah, and I love this guy as a football player. Love him as a football player, but he is not a fantasy tight end.
People
he
keep comparing him to Greg Olsen. I don't understand. This guy couldn't catch. I can't think of a PG analogy right now. He can't catch anything. There's no upside from a receiving standpoint.
He was the third tight end on the team as far as a pass catching tight end. He's an excellent blocker.
And elite.
He's going to be blocking in the NFL. That's what he's going to do. That's going to be his thing.
Blocker.
He's going to block. He's going to pancake guys and move on. And then it's going to be someone else catching passes. I think he's at Carolina then, right?
Yep.
Yeah. It's going to be someone else catching passes there. And from Sammy Darnold, and Scotty says Sammy Darnold can't support a tight end anyway, so we don't have to worry about him at this point in time.
No, and I've honestly seen Tommy Tremble drafted in the third round. Like, I don't know why people would draft him, especially in the third round of these rookie drafts, but he's not a guy that's on my draft board. He's going to be a great football player, but not a fantasy option. Avoid him for sure.
Yeah, like I said, I would love him on my football team. I would love him pancaking guys in the run blocking, but he's not going to be a starting fantasy tight end ever. You may keep him in your practice squad for 2 years, and then he's gone. That's about it.
Yep.
So tell us some other guys you have on your list here. I know you've looked at a few other ones post-draft here as well.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm going to go through the list of these guys that, were drafted and kind of give you my, reasoning behind why I think they were drafted and kind of where I see them. John Bates out of Boise State, he's 6'5", 250. He is exactly Logan Thomas. Like, if you were going to give a perfect comp, it would be Logan Thomas, and then they ended up on the same team. So he has great draft capital, fourth round, pick 19 to Washington, and he had, you didn't really see it on the film as much, but he ran a 6.85 three cone. He had a 4.8 40 and a good broad jump, and so he has a little bit of athleticism skills, but the guy, he's a blocker. That's what he is. He's a blocking tight end, and he has the ability to be a red zone threat. He's got really big hands, really sure hands. Only had, three drops, I think, in his, last couple years. And he's a guy that will occasionally flash some you know, big playability. He was a former hurdler champion, I think, in high school. And he's got a little bit of ability to get some ups, but he's got some good characteristics that, you know, might be attractive. But he's not a guy that I could see anybody drafting. He is Logan Thomas, hoping for that similar sort of breakout.
So it only took Logan Thomas 7 years?
Yeah, and no wide receivers and full volume in the receiving game to break out. If you were going to sell anybody in the entire football league, you better sell Logan Thomas, because he might not put up half of what he put up last year.
But to be fair to Logan Thomas, Logan Thomas was a quarterback at Virginia Tech.
Yep.
Before he came into the NFL. So it takes a longer time to transition from that aspect. And he did ball out last year. I think he was a top 8, top 6 tight end last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, he looked pretty good. But I didn't see that in his time in Detroit. I didn't see it this time in Buffalo. I didn't see it in his time all the other stops he was there then too. But good for him in Washington.
Volume is key. Next guy, Zach Davidson, went 5th round, 24th pick to Minnesota. This dude is a punter. But this guy, he plays in D3, but he dominates D3. He's out of Central Missouri. He looks awesome, man. I'm telling you, this is a guy to like really look at in 3 years and see what happens there in Minnesota, because he had a 4.64, a 6.95 3 cone. He put up good explosive numbers in the vertical jump, broad jump. But when you watch him on film, he's got wide receiver ability out there running routes, and he has a big catch radius. He's got big time after the catch ability. He's out there pulling, he's dancing, making people miss. And I don't care what level you're on, if you have that kind of ability as a tight end, and you're 6'7", 245, man, there's a place for you somewhere. And he's a great guy to just see what happens later down the line. Don't waiver the guy unless you're in one of these like 16-team leagues or something. Then maybe stash him. But this is a guy that ended up with a 68 on a film score. He was kind of like mid-pack of this class. He looked great. But again, it's against weaker competition, and he's learning the position, but, he's got some athletic upside for sure. And, the last two guys is Tony Poljan, and yeah! The only guy that was worse than him in the whole class was Luke Farrell out of Ohio State. Luke Farrell is just a blocking tight end. I don't care that he went 5th round to Jacksonville. He has absolutely no chance of being a fantasy relevant tight end, and I'll put my foot down on that. he's definitely not him and poor Tony Poljan. They're two of the worst tight ends I think I've ever scouted.
Tony Poljan was a quarterback too, so.
Yep.
Come on a break. Maybe you can make a Logan Thomas transition.
Yeah, I think that's very atypical.
Yeah,
I'd take Tim Tebow over both those guys right now.
Tim, 31, 32-year-old Tim Tebow?
Yep, absolutely.
Maybe he's going the Delaney Walker route, breaking out at 35.
Yeah, you never know, man. If Urban starts him at quarterback, then it's full steam ahead.
Yeah, well, Urban Meyer, like, he's bashing DJ Shark. He drafting ETN.
That's the truth with DJ Shark. Like, he needed to bulk up, get a bigger frame. Dude is weak. That's why I didn't like him, is he was just this big, long, lanky guy. He just needed to work on his body.
Well, Urban Meyer is, he should keep that in-house. And
a
not,
lot of this is smoke. Just blowing smoke, man. Well,
why
does
he blow smoke to the media? Why is it to let it out there? Why can't he just keep it in the camp?
I don't know. Him and Andy Reid are cut from the same cloth.
Yeah, we'll see about that. I see Urban Meyer failing pretty hard in Jacksonville, and hopefully doesn't screw DJ Shark, screw ETN, screw James Robinson. Well, he's already screwed James Robinson, but and hopefully Trevor Lawrence doesn't turn out to be a flop because of Urban Meyer, but we will see. But the good news is Tim Tebow will get a shot. I really like Tim Tebow. I think he's a good dude, and I hope he can be a serviceable tight end. I think people are giving Tim too much of a hard time just because he's getting opportunities. But when you're a good dude, you get opportunities. So best of luck to him. But I don't know, anything else you got here?
Nope, that's pretty much it.
Talked enough tight ends until we'll hit the tight end episode here when we break down the rest of the league when we get away from these rookies. We're almost through with the rookies. We have the wide receiver show.
Yeah, you know, just quick summary. Kyle Pitts, top five pick easy. Freiermuth, probably a back end second, early third. And then everyone else is either, I would just try to waiver them. I wouldn't reach for anybody and spend a pick on any of those guys. I'd just try to see who falls through the cracks and waiver them. Maybe if you got a late fifth round flyer, you can take it on like a Hunter Long or Kylan Granson or Trey McKitty. But try to wait on these guys. Expect to not get your early production. It's a pretty, pretty poor class this year.
At least it's not as bad as last year's class. Last year's class was disgusting.
Yep.
Because there's two guys better than all the tight ends in last year's class. Maybe three. I would put Hunter Long ahead of Cole Kmet, Mr. Frankenstein there.
Yeah.
People are talking about Cole Kmet. I'm not a fan. I don't see it. So, but that is it. So this is Joseph Adrian signing off.
This is Scott Martin, and you just listened to the Dynasty Interview Fantasy Football Podcast.